This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Later in the program, we'll go to Baghdad for an update on the heaviest fighting since the collapse of Saddam Hussein's army and ask why U.S.-led forces chose to respond sharply to recent attacks. But first, the presidential election. After a short vacation and shoulder surgery, Democrat John Kerry is back. He campaigned yesterday in Ohio. Much more on that in a few minutes. Criticized administration policy in Iraq today in an interview on Morning Edition. And he's been raising money. $50 million in the first 3 months of the year, which eclipses the previous record for a non-incumbent, which was set by George W. Bush 4 years ago. This year, though, President Bush's fundraising obliterates all records. He's pulled in about three times Kerry's total. Some parts in the country are already blanketed with political advertising. We're going to catch up with the campaign on several fronts, then focus on the battle for the state that many believe could decide this election, Ohio. Though it's a swing state, parts of Ohio are solidly Democratic or Republican. So where is this fight actually going to be? Whose votes are still truly undecided, and how many of them are there? And are the campaigns going to move to the center to try to capture independents or energize the faithful to maximize turnout? You don't have to be from Ohio to join our conversation. Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. And the email address is TOTN at NPR.org. First, some of the big picture. NPR's senior Washington editor Ron Elving joins us here in Studio 3A. A pleasure, as always.
Good to see you, Neil.
How significant is that Kerry fundraising figure?
It's a significant figure. There's no question that $38 million raised in just the month of March is the most successful month that any non-incumbent candidate for president has ever had. Also the most significant quarter that any non-incumbent candidate for president has ever had. But $38 million in March alone, I mean, we didn't really expect much from Kerry in January, but by the time we got to March, he was wrapping up the nomination on the second day of the month. And after that, the fundraising kept on rolling. More than $1 million a day. I think you'd have to call it significant. But at the same time, he is up against the all-time champ. Now, George W. Bush raised about $100 million in the entire 2000 campaign. But this year, with higher limits on what individuals can give because of the new campaign finance law, he's going to double that. He's probably going to hit $200 million.
Now, during the Democratic primary campaign, we focused a lot on the then enormous fundraising advantage that Governor Dean had over all of his rivals. So this can be misleading. Doesn't it matter how they spend the money more than how much money they've got as long as they're competitive?
It's the great neglected half of the whole. How does the money get spent? In the case of the Dean campaign, it was overspent in a couple of states they wound up losing. As a result, everywhere else, the effect of the money was minimized. Howard Dean raised a great deal of money with very low cost because he raised a lot of it on the internet. But then a great deal of it did get spent on some very expensive television advertising that may not, in retrospect, have been the best way to spend the money. Everyone's going to try to learn from that experience. We have already seen the Bush campaign begin spending heavily on television trying to define John Kerry, and having some luck with it for a while there in March. They were moving the polls a little bit in their direction.
Well, let me ask you then about the polls for Kerry and Bush. They're moving, but not necessarily all the time in the president's direction.
That is correct. In mid-March, Kerry, getting a big bounce out of his early nomination in the Democratic Party, moved out to a lead of maybe 5 to 10 percentage points over the incumbent President Bush. Then in the latter part of March, as those ads that the president's campaign was running and as the coordinated campaign by many of the president's surrogates to portray John Kerry had its effect and took its toll, we saw Kerry's numbers come down and we saw the president draw even or maybe even a little bit ahead. The very most recent poll I've seen, a CBS News, New York Times poll, just came out 3-4 days ago. It shows Kerry back up by 5 points. But I must emphasize, these kinds of scorecard movements back and forth, a couple of points at this juncture in the game don't mean much. We're 7 months from the election.
And indeed, we should be careful about attributing all the changes to changes in the campaign. There's obviously the real world is out there affecting everybody's feelings about any number of issues.
Exactly. And I think if there's a number that ought to concern the president, it's less his head-to-head matchup with John Kerry than, say, his approval number, which has slipped into the lower 40s in some polls, which is the lowest he's ever been, and also the number for how he's handling the situation in Iraq, which is also the lowest it's ever been.
He did get good news on the job creation front, though.
Absolutely. Last Friday, they got the best jobs number that we've seen in years, over 300,000 job creation number, and many people still feel that as distracting as Iraq is, and may become more than just distracting, the economy remains the central issue in any incumbent's reelection year, and job creation is the essential issue of the economic picture.
Mm-hmm. Now, in addition to the campaigns, there's the larger political parties at large, a lot of people running for offices besides President of the United States. In the last week, we've seen the Republican-dominated House of Representatives pass the highway bill. The president's threatening to veto this. The GOP has very largely been in absolute lockstep with the president, but why the division now?
Well, the president has not yet vetoed one single piece of legislation as president, so he has cooperated with Congress. They've worked together. But now their interests diverge. The president has made a marker of the highway bill, and he said no more than $256 billion. That's plenty. Anything more, is an excessive amount of deficit spending, and we really have to show some discipline here in times of restraint. Congress, of course, individual members of the House, individual members of the Senate, like to be able to bring home the projects that people are looking for in an election year. Bridges and roads are paramount.
And this is a vital issue for them. Are any indication yet as to whether they're going to break with the president on this?
Well, the House has already passed a bill that's almost $30 billion beyond his last bottom line, and they passed it by a vote of 357 to just 65.
That's called veto-proof, isn't
it? That is definitely a veto-proof margin. So if the president chooses to respect his own line in the sand and veto this bill, he'll be overridden in the House. The Senate might be a little closer call, but bear in mind, the Senate's version of this bill is over $300 billion, so it's even more expensive than the House.
As you know, we're headed to Ohio in just a minute. Why is this, remind us, why is this such a key state?
It's way more than just the 20 electoral votes. Ohio is always a critical state, a swing state, and in a president's reelection year, he expects to have it in his column. If he doesn't, he's probably on his way to defeat. And also bear in mind, no Republican has ever been elected president without carrying Ohio.
Ron Elving, NPR's senior Washington editor, here with us in Studio 3A. Thanks, as always.
Thank you, Neil.
Joining us now to help dissect Ohio, and we mean that, is Eric Rademacher. He's coordinator of the University of Cincinnati's Ohio Poll. He's at the Institute for Policy Research at the university, and he joins us from his office in Cincinnati. Welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Good afternoon.
Though we mentioned Ohio is a swing state, break it down for us geographically. Which sections are actually in play, and which parts are already in either the Republican or the Democratic camps?
Well, when we talk about Ohio, we can divide it up into what can almost be thought of as either five or six states in some ways. But if we break it into six regions, there are two regions that are solid for the two political parties. The Northeast region, which is the Cleveland area of the state, that's a Democratic core area where Kerry's core Democratic vote is going to come from. The Southwest area, which is the Cincinnati area of the state, that's the Republican base for the president as he tries to win re-election in the state. Now, we've got two traditional swing areas. One is in the Northwest, which is the Toledo area, and the second is the western part of the state, which is the Dayton area. These two areas are two places which typically see a lot of campaign attention, a lot of candidate appearances, not only because of their reputation as swing areas, but also because Toledo, for example, gives you the opportunity to reach out to Michigan and over to Indiana simultaneously while addressing this swing area. And then from the polling that we've done with the Ohio poll, we're seeing that it also appears this year that central Ohio, which is the Columbus area, and southeast Ohio, which does not have a major city in the same way of these other regions, are also in play. So pretty much what you're looking at right now are two core regions and a lot of swing otherwise across the state.
Now, here in let's talk about issues, though. When we say the economy matters, does it matter in the same way depending on does it matter depending on where you are in the state of Ohio?
Well, it really does. The state's economic and political diversity make this a very complicated state to campaign in. No single message really can easily capture the attention of voters here. And I think the Ohio poll we conducted earlier this year gives you a good flavor of what I'm talking about. When we talk to Ohioans across the state about the economy, which in some voters here, Democrat, Republican, Independent, all identified as the most important issue, thinking ahead, obviously, to November, we found that depending on where in the state you were talking to folks, you heard the economy meant jobs. You've already alluded to that. But you also heard it meant wages. When we talked to people, they talked about wages and standard of living as opposed to a fear of losing a job. We heard many people talking about taxes and the relationship between taxes, what they're paying in taxes, and how that shapes their perceptions. We also heard things about the federal budget and trade as well, as you're probably not surprised since there was so much trade focus in the primary. So it really depends where you are in the state. Some areas, such as Southeast Ohio, facing very high unemployment right now. That area is far more likely to find people talking about unemployment than other parts of the state where there's lower levels.
Let's get some listeners involved in the conversation. 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, or email TOTN at NPR.org. We'll begin with Brent, who's with us from the, we just heard, it's a Democratic bastion there in Cleveland, Ohio.
That is correct. I'm from Cleveland. I go to Cleveland State. And I'm proud to be an Ohioan as well. Absolutely proud. Actually, the one question that I had was already answered. You were talking about Toledo and how it was going to swing maybe and affect the other states, which was one of my big questions, but that was obviously answered. And I also wanted to know something about probably the ages between 18 and 26 and how those voters are going to act and react, who they're going to vote for. And my friends and I are starting to find out that a lot of our friends are definitely voting for Kerry. We're playing a little bit of a game here, going, out to social settings and seeing, who's voting for Kerry, who's going to vote for Bush. And we're pretty much finding out that about 7 to 8 people out of 10 are planning on voting for Kerry. Do you have any comments on that?
Well, one of the things I would say is that may factor where you live may factor into that a little bit. But in terms of what you're saying, there's a couple keys here. One is that you're talking about a group that we know traditionally has been a very low turnout group. So the degree to which that age group turns out in this election may absolutely have ultimately a real bearing on what happens. When we look across the state, what we see is very similar to what you're saying, that we are seeing more younger people identifying with the Kerry campaign, but we're also seeing a large amount of voters there talking about the Nader campaign as well. So we've got Kerry in that particular group ahead of Bush by a fairly large margin, but I would caution you to keep in mind the turnout, and then B, this is a group that traditionally we have seen bounce back and forth between the Democrat and Republican Party through the election year. So we would not want to take these early results and say that's ultimately how younger voters are going to come out on election day.
It's a very good feeling, though, to notice that a lot of my friends are actually starting to get involved. They're starting to pay attention. They're asking me questions because I am politically active. And it's nice. And we will go to bars and we'll play these games. You know, how many people can we find that aren't going to vote? And can we try and sway them to vote? Can we try and push them to vote? You know, we play a lot of those games, usually, you know, on the weekends and stuff when we're out and about. And it's pretty interesting. It's I promise the nation Ohio will not be another Florida. I guarantee that right now. Guarantee that. But Brent, thank you very much, and I'll hang up and let you guys talk.
Thanks very much, Brent.
All right, bye-bye.
And we just have a few seconds left in this segment, Eric, but as you look at these five or six different states within Ohio, these regions, do they comport to television markets, to broadcasting markets?
Well, they very much do, and one of the things that you have going on there then is that to come to Ohio with a single message, for example, to come to Ohio and just talk about jobs in relationship to the economy, if you put that ad on in all the different regions, you're going to have a very difficult time getting through to the voters who are not thinking about the economy in just the jobs context. And so what the campaigns here have done a very good job of in the recent elections is as they've run those ads,
I'm afraid I'm diversity. Have to end your thought at the resume your thought at the beginning of the next segment. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We're talking about the Buckeye State, Ohio. It's long been pegged as a swing state in presidential elections. We're talking about which parts of that state are actually in play, which are strongholds for either the Republican or Democratic Party. You're invited to join us if you live in Ohio, or if you're feeling the impact of this year's presidential race, give us a call, 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. And our email address is totn@npr.org. Our guest is Eric Rademacher, co-director of the University of Cincinnati's Ohio Poll, and he's with us on the line from his office in Cincinnati. Just before the break, Eric, we were talking about how the areas of Ohio that you identified, four of which are wobbly and two of which are solidly, one in the Democratic camp, one in the Republican camp. And as you look at those areas, I'm interested. We were talking about them as broadcast markets, but these places are being inundated with advertising already, aren't they?
Well, they really are, but the messages are not real directly targeted right now. You're seeing more general messages in the markets, but what we were really likely to see here as we get further into the campaign are ads that are very much targeted to particular areas, different messages. Again, if the economy stays on top, I expect that we'll see different radio, television, print kinds of advertising that address different economic needs in the different regions of the state.
Mm-hmm. And as we look at, I mean, are you seeing a lawn ad? I mean, you know, lawn flags already? It's April.
Well, we're not. But one of the things that I would say is that it feels like the end of August and early September here in terms of the campaign. Usually, we have a little bit of advertising here early. We have candidate appearances here and there, but the traditional day of starting the campaign is around Labor Day, and quite frankly, it feels like we've already passed Labor Day.
Well, we're going to talk with representatives of both the Bush and Kerry campaigns in Ohio. Joining us now is Jim Ruvolo. He's chair of the John Kerry campaign from Ohio, and he joins us on the phone from Toledo. Welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Thank you. What are the long and short-term tactics for your campaign in the state?
Well, first, we've never had a nominee this early except for an incumbent president. So this stage of the campaign is starting to consolidate our resources to work with the county parties, which exist out there all year round, and put in place our targeting plans for the fall. And we're well underway with that. We've got more people that want to volunteer, want to get active than we've ever had at this point in the cycle. And there's a real excitement about electing John Kerry and defeating George Bush among Democrats.
When you talk about a targeting campaign, what's that?
Well, we will be figuring out where we're going to be delivering what message. You know, as Eric said, you talk to different audiences with a slightly different message. Doesn't mean you have a different opinion on issues. It means that some things are more important to people than others. You really have two broad categories of targets. One is your base vote, those folks who vote Democratic time and time again, and we have to make sure they come out and vote. And they react to a little different message than the swing voters, and that's the other big group. And swing voters you have to talk to about those issues and those concerns that they have that are individual to them.
Now,
our campaign will be reaching out to them on that.
Now, some people would say you really can't do both. If you're going to appeal to your core constituency, the message they want is described as a red meat, while that might alienate people who are in the middle.
No, I don't think that's the case here. I think among Democrats, there's one message that's working above all others. That's throw out George Bush. I've never seen Democrats in Ohio more energized to defeat someone than they are to defeat George Bush. That's the only message we need with them. We have to make sure they understand that this election is about the future and we can't afford four more years of him. And that's the message we'll use with our base vote. Now, other voters care more about specific issues that matter to their pocketbook and their family, and that's what we'll be talking to them about.
Is this an air war, advertising, or is this a ground war, door to door?
It's both. You know, people think, well, you turn out the vote by knocking on their door, or some people think you turn on the vote by getting to them on television. The fact is you do both. People are not motivated to vote by just one or the other. They may see a television ad and say, yeah, I think I'll go vote, but they forget. They don't see it's immediate, so they need that knock on the door. They need that phone call. You can't have a get-out-the-vote campaign without a message, and you can't have a get-out-the-vote campaign without people out there knocking on doors and doing the day-to-day contact.
Now, is this you've obviously been involved in a few campaigns before. How does this compare to years past? In terms of, as Eric was saying just a moment ago, he says it feels like fall already.
It does in terms of people's desire to get engaged, but those are among the bases. Those are among both bases, Republicans and Democrats. Still, by and large, the public is sitting back with their arms folded, saying, show me what you got. Talk to me about the things I care about. And that's why John Kerry has been in the state so much and been talking about the economy, been talking about health care, talking about the issues that people discuss around their dinner table. That's how they're going to make their decision on who to vote for.
And by early November, you expect John Kerry to probably be your best friend.
I expect John Kerry to be qualified to register to vote here by November.
Jim Ruvolo, thank you very much.
Thanks.
Jim Ruvolo is chair of the Kerry campaign in Ohio. He joined us on the phone from Toledo, and still with us is Eric Rademacher of the Ohio Poll. I wanted to read you an email we got from Jane Taylor in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. As someone who reads newspapers and follows the news, I find it incredible that anyone who's really intending to vote doesn't already know who they're voting for. There are clear differences between Bush and Kerry on all issues, whether they be economic, foreign policy, courts, everything that touches each of us. Her point, there's a lot of people who say that there are very few people left undecided.
Well, let me comment on that in a few different ways. One is to amplify Jim's point about the energy among Democrats. I would also say that there's an energy among Republicans as well, in the sense that right now, if you look at the 92 and 96 elections, we're seeing much greater polarization regarding the candidates. So on both sides, we have an environment that's much more polarized and heightened. And as he says, you know, we've already had a couple indications from the caller in Northeast that the Democrats are very much energized in the state right now. But I would just ask the person who's emailing to remember that for many people, politics is not even a hobby. That they pay very little attention, generally speaking, and that can be a function of their economic situation, their job situation, their children, their family, and so forth. And for many voters, there is not really a focus, as Jim said, till later on in the summer and early in September and into the fall. So for those that typically follow politics and your core Democrats and Republicans, those folks are energized very early. But you also have a large group of both Ohioans and Americans who are not yet fully engaged in the same way many of the core partisans are.
How many undecideds are there, and are they? Is it fair to actually describe them as being in the middle, or are they all spread all over the spectrum as well?
Well, what we're seeing right now is, and it's very difficult to estimate that, but it looks like it's somewhere in the neighborhood of about 10% when you factor all things in. One of the things we do in our polling is we ask people if they're committed to a candidate or if they're leaning towards a candidate. And many of those folks that are leaning right now are the kind of people that I was talking about that will not really be too engaged into the process until later on in the year. So it's probably right about 10%. And it really does not shape up that 10% is in one part of the state or the other. However, I would say that it's pretty clear in the Democratic Cleveland area and the Cincinnati Republican area that many folks are lining up already. So you may find ultimately that some of the undecideds are lower in those areas. But in these traditional swing areas, even those folks who are expressing a candidate preference right now, I think, as Jim said, may be open to changing their minds here in the next several months.
Joining us now is Congressman Rob Portman. He's the Ohio Communications Chair for Bush Cheney 04, and he joins us on the phone from Columbus, Ohio. Thanks very much for being with us today, Congressman.
Neil, it's great to be on. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this on NPR, but I'm a longtime listener, first-time caller.
Well, thank you so much. talk to us, though, a little bit about tactics. What are your plans to appeal to that 10% of swing voters that Eric was just talking about?
Well, I think Eric's right that people are more energized this year than I've seen in the past. This is the fifth time that I've been involved in a presidential election in Ohio, and this go-around, I see on both sides a lot of intensity. I see a lot on the Republican side. But among those people who have not made their mind up yet, the Bush message will be consistent. I know you spoke to Jim Ruvolo earlier, and he talked about their message to their base being to, as you said, throw out George Bush. Our message will be more positive. It will be about prosperity. It will be about securing the country, the fight against terrorism. The big issue in Ohio, though, will be about prosperity and jobs, and that's the message that George Bush will be talking about, that now that we've turned the corner, now that jobs are coming back in Ohio, we need to stay the course and go even further in terms of lowering the costs of frivolous lawsuits and energy costs and health care costs and having trade that opens up more markets. So that will be the message consistently to both the base and to those who are in the middle.
Of those 300,000 record-setting jobs that were just created in the previous month, how many of those were in Ohio and in what parts of Ohio? Do you know?
Well, we don't know yet. Unfortunately, the state figures always lag the national figures, which is a frustration to me. What we do know is that the most recent data we have, which is from February, the unemployment in Ohio went from 6.2% down to 5.9%. And there were substantial jobs created, for instance, 24,000 jobs in January, which I believe was the most jobs created in any state in the country. So Ohio's had a tough time of it. We are a heavy manufacturing state, and manufacturing has been hard hit around the country. But things are turning in Ohio. We're seeing growth. We're seeing exports increasing. We're seeing home ownership go up, as we're seeing in the rest of the country. And we're actually seeing progress on the jobs front. So things are trending in the right direction.
And are you looking towards a campaign that would energize the base and maximize turnout, or a campaign that seeks the crucial winning votes in the middle?
Well, this is maybe a cop-out, Neil, but both.
That's funny. That's what the Democrats said, too.
Well, no, I again, getting back to this notion that you have kind of one message for your base, and which Jim indicated, and one for others, I mean, I think the message needs to be consistent. You know, people are smart. They do follow this stuff, particularly as you get closer to November.
Mm-hmm.
And the most message will be that we are beginning to see great improvements in our economy nationally and in Ohio. We're seeing jobs coming back. We need to stay the course. We need to do even more to make it more attractive to create jobs here in this country. And forget outsourcing. We're talking about insourcing. That's what we want to do. And it's a matter of making Ohio a more attractive place and making America a more attractive place to create those jobs. So that will be the message consistently across the base and into those who are currently undecided.
By November, with the aid of computerized databases and that sort of thing, do you expect that you're going to know where every available vote may be, or at least a substantial percentage of them?
That's a great question, and the data is amazing, what you can create these days in terms of a good database as to where people are. That's being used, I'm sure, by both campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
What we're doing in Ohio, again, from my experience, having been involved in a few of these campaigns over the years, is much more intensive than before on the grassroots, and that is, as you say, identifying voters. It's also registering voters and then getting people to the polls. So the answer is yes, there will be a more intense effort, and there will be a better data available. And grassroots, in the end, I think, are going to be the strength of the Bush campaign here in Ohio. We now have chairs in all 88 counties. We've had 24 of these intensive training sessions. 24 different counties. They've signed up over 15,000 volunteers. And as Eric indicates, there is a level of excitement that is, you know, being implemented through these grassroots efforts.
I suspect that neither you nor Jim Ruvalo is going to get an awful lot of sleep between now and early November.
It's going to be a busy 7 months, Neil.
Thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it. Call back again sometime.
Thanks, I will.
Rob Portman is a Republican representative for the 2nd Congressional District in Ohio and Ohio Communications Chair for the Bush-Cheney campaign. He was with us on the phone from Columbus, Ohio. We're talking about the presidential election, focusing on the state of Ohio. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And still with us is Eric Rademacher, and let's get another caller on the line. And joining us is Keith, who's with us from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Hi, thanks for having me on. Have a good afternoon, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Hi, Keith.
Even though we're talking the Buckeye State, I think there's probably a lot of similarities with the Badger State. And even though people can go back and forth on these employment numbers that we see from month to month, in between those times, as I read the papers, I see stories around Wisconsin of plant closings still. And I think the thing that really has to be looked at is what's going on at the individual level, what's going on inside people's heads. And from in terms of people who have jobs, I think there's still this fear that they pretty well can lose that job. I mean, I think that's still a very real fear in people's heads, even though they're not directly affected by unemployment. On the business side, I think one thing that's amazing that I'm seeing is there's a lot of business people I know who've been longtime Republicans who, because of the way the economy's handled, are going to be voting for John Kerry for the first time.
Eric, this has certainly come up. Keith is not the only one raising this point.
Sure. We've looked at this issue of people's feelings of job security in a rather broad brush. But what I can tell you on that issue is that we're seeing in Ohio, which may or may not be a real good indicator of Wisconsin. But what we're seeing in Ohio is that that concern about the job future, individuals losing their jobs, is much more frequently discussed among Democrats than Republicans. So this may be another one of those issues that we talked about earlier that may be used to kind of energize the core and the base of the Democratic side. The other thing that I would say is that at least in Ohio right now, we are in a very polarized environment among the core constituents of Democrats and Republicans. And what we're seeing anyway so far is that a lot of switching doesn't look likely. But that's not to say, as I think someone commented earlier, that what we know now is absolutely predictive of the fall. And we need to see both candidates come to Ohio to battle it out here, to bring their messages here, and see how that goes and how they resonate with the voters here. So it's a little early to speculate too far on those points.
That, you know, you raise a good point in that regard. The job that Curry is going to have to do, because I've talked to people who are concerned about, some people have been concerned about their job situation, but some of them still say that they do not, they still have to be convinced that Kerry is the guy who will be able to do the job if they want to replace George Bush.
Hmm. Good point, Keith. Thanks very much for the call. Email question from Ken in Walnut Creek, California. I think you addressed this at least in part. Where does Ralph Nader fit in Ohio?
Well, right now, the Nader vote is a very hard thing to get a handle on. And I think that's primarily, again, because we're so early in the campaign here. We're seeing that Nader is drawing about 5% among voters here, but it's very much a 5% in flux, because not only are we seeing that he's drawing from the Democratic candidate, he also seems to be drawing from the Bush campaign right now. So we need to really give this some time, have Nader spend some sustained time in the state of Ohio to get a good flavor, sense of how he might ultimately do, because here, as well as across the nation, there's a lot of speculation, A, as to how he might perform, but then B, who he might take votes from, whether it's narrowing that undecided group to make it harder for Kerry and Bush to get votes from it, or whether he's going to be drawing from the Kerry campaign, which I think is where one of the predominant schools of thought is.
Thanks very much for joining us today.
Anytime. Thank you very much.
I suspect we'll be back in touch before November.
Well, I'm sure we will, and you as well by that time may be ready to be registered to vote here.
Eric Rademacher is co-director of the University of Cincinnati's Ohio poll. He was with us on the phone from Cincinnati. After a break, the latest on the unrest in Iraq and what the American military options are. And tomorrow, Condoleezza Rice testifies before the 9/11 Commission, where she's expected to face questions about what the Bush administration did about terrorism before, during, and after 9/11. Although she's met with them in private in the past, she will be under oath and in public for the first time. Join us to hear what she said and how it compares to earlier testimony tomorrow on Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan, NPR News in Washington.